Don't. We still need to keep on praying for Pastor Jerry. We're just saying about reckless love. And I want to talk this morning about reckless love. But from a different aspect. A couple of weeks ago, Emmanuel preached about promises. And today, and then I said to him, but there's much more in messages like that. He says, yeah, the next one is mine. So the next one, then I took that up. God's promises crossed at Calvary. What does that mean? Let's have a look and see what it means. To understand what we are talking about, we need to know what a promise is. A promise is a declaration or something like that, that I will do or will not do. That's a promise. And a commitment is something that I will definitely go and I will definitely do that. Now, we all have made promises, and we've all of us made commitment. And the one place I know, and that's personal experience where it works, is in a marriage. In a marriage, I originally promised to Stefania, sorry, Stefania, I didn't wish you Happy Mother's Day this morning, but Happy Mother's Day for you too. I made a promise to Stefania that I will love her, that I will take care of her, blah, 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 all the things that is said. But the commitment, it took 53 years to get to this point here, which shows a little bit of a commitment. It takes time to do it. It's not something that happens overnight. What happened at Calvary is a unique place where the promise and the commitment unite perfectly. I want to repeat that. Calvary is a unique place where promise and commitment unite perfectly. Initially through God, and then through our decision to respond. You cannot improve on that. What does the cross represent? The cross represents Jesus truly carrying our sins to fulfill God's justice, provide atonement, and restoring our relationship with God. That's what the cross represents. At the cross, humanity's greatest evil and God's perfect love got together. We sang about reckless love, and we may say it might have been reckless, God doing that, trusting us with His love. Some could say, yeah, it is reckless. But He, God, was prepared to put everything on the line for me. You've got to decide for yourself if you also want it. The cross is a symbol of shame and defeat. Yet, it's also the gateway to forgiveness, triumph, and a renewed life. I don't know if there's any more paradoxical than that. The important issue is what the cross signifies to both you and me. You know, quite a lot of people wear a cross around their necks. Do you really know what it means? Do you really know what the cross symbolizes? Do you really understand what you have around your neck? Or is it just something? And I mean, I've seen some crosses that you actually walk like that because it's getting so heavy. Does it represent what it really is supposed to represent? Or is it just a piece of jewelry that looks nice around your neck? The cross has got two beams. You can see it up there. It's got a vertical beam and a horizontal beam. And we're going to have a look what each beam represents. Both of them represents God's promises and God's commitment. Sorry, the vertical one. God offers grace and we respond with faith. That's what it means. represented what God's achieved for us at Calvary was justification, reconciliation, victory over Satan, forgiveness and insurance. That's what God gave us by sending Jesus to the cross, friends. Do we realize what He's done? God's unwavering promise and commitment is upheld in everything. Everything that God has promised. And by the way, I don't know if you know, there are nearly 8,000 promises in the Bible. You didn't know that, did you? Neither did I. 8,000 promises. But they all got together at the cross. By the way, there's really only one commitment in the Bible. I will be your God and you will be my children. That covers everything. Let's carry on with that. At the cross, God does not only promises, but He also commits Himself totally. Friends, God gave us everything. He put everything on the line. In fact, He put His Son on the cross. For what reason? So that I can have life and have life more abundantly. The Old Testament promises and prophecies converge at the cross, and there are hundreds of them, friends. There are hundreds of them. You can look up for yourself. And for me, every time I read, something new pops up, a new promise, a new thing, which is something that I need for my life now. At Calvary, God promises of forgiveness, reconciliation, and eternal life are prayed for, sealed. John 19, verse 30. Does anybody know what John 19, verse 30 says? Don't look, just think. Three words. It is finished. What does that mean? It means it's done. It's dusted. We don't have to worry about it anymore. It doesn't have to happen a second time or anything like that. Colossians 2:13 and 14 talks about all our sins have been nailed onto the cross. All of it. And that's what God did. It didn't took, Gerrit, you know what you did there and there, that's fine. But that one I can't forgive. It doesn't work like that with God. Everything, and I mean everything, friends, is forgiven. I'm still talking about the vertical beam, ne? 2 Corinthians 1:20, look what it says. For all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen ascends to God for His glory. In other words, all we have to say is, I accept. I don't have to do anything more. God's promises includes His commitments. He doesn't change, doesn't walk away, and He doesn't forget. It's incredible. You know, we just heard a few things from here about forgetfulness and this and this and all that kind of stuff here. Because I'm human beings. Sorry, Pastor Jerry. You know what the problem is? Pastor Jerry won't say anything today. Tomorrow I get hammered. He doesn't, no, those things he never forgets. But, friends, you hear what I'm saying. God promises, doesn't change, doesn't walk away, and doesn't forget. Where am I? I'm sitting on His shoulders because there's only one row of footprints in the sand. The vertical beam. What's the importance of the vertical beam? Simple. Number one, it's fixed. Number two, it's anchored into the ground. Number three, it's holding the weight, my weight, because I am the horizontal beam. He's carrying me wherever I go, whatever I do. God doesn't move. He doesn't move. Fixed, anchored, holding my weight. That's the vertical beam. It's standing there permanently. Let's have a look at the horizontal beam. And what does the horizontal beam represent? my promises and my commitment. Now, let's be careful. Let's have a look. It spans from east to west. And you know what the Bible says? As far as the east is from the west, that's how far my transgressions have been removed from me. How far is the east from the west? Anybody can give me the distance? No, because it's at infinitum. It just runs permanently. Representing our relationship and our daily obedience. What, in other words, what does it say? God wants me permanently, my eyes fixed on Him, on Jesus, the perfecter of my faith. Not that I need Him to help me perfect my faith. Shows God's work in and through us via sanctification, love, reconciliation, unity, service, and sacrifice. It's how I work and I live among you all. And sometimes I need to let my head down because I've sometimes made a mistake. Anybody here that never makes a mistake? Oh, Peter, I'll pray for you, my brother. Demonstrates how we share God's love and keeps His promises to others. Remember, God's promises through me to you. So if the Word of God says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, it's a promise that I need to pass on to everybody else. Let's carry on with it. The cross is not only what God did for us, it defines our calling, how to live for Him. It defines who I am in Christ. You know, friends, it's all good and well to say, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Prove it. That's exactly what it means. I need to live a way that others can see Jesus in me. Because if people can't see Jesus in me, then there's something wrong in my relationship, in my way of going. We have to deny ourselves, myself, take up my cross daily and follow Jesus. We've heard a few sermons recently about to take up the cross, follow Jesus, and that. What does that mean? It means following Jesus. It doesn't say follow Jesus, but so and so and so and so. It's just simple. Follow Jesus. You know, sometimes we need to let go and let God do things in our lives. Sometimes we need to just do what He wants us to do. We promise to follow Jesus, to love others, to serve in the church, and to live holy. When I say, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior, that's actually what it means. When I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I mean I will follow Him. The problem is there a problem? Yeah, the problem is I don't do it. Because I still like the way I'm going. I still like the way that I want to do things. I still like me instead of liking Him. So what do we need to do? I need to start liking Him. Our commitment is seen in our daily obedience, sacrifice, forgiveness, service, and perseverance. Friends, it doesn't come easy. Let me tell you, I've got a few years under my belt. It doesn't come easy. Like being married for so long, it's nice, but there's work that has got to go into it. It doesn't come, oh, you know, we're married. It's all right, for the next 100 years we can do what we like and go around what we like. It doesn't work like that. We have to work at it. We have to do things. We have to, and by the way, like in marriage, perseverance is also an issue. I mean, that's why there's so many divorces, because people just back up. They say, I'm not going to carry on with this nonsense. It's no nonsense. It's a God-given institution. God is supposed to be the center of it. Our promises are weak, often broken, but real, and God takes them seriously. And I like that. You know, if I say my all, God knows it's a weak promise because I will fail. But he also takes me serious. And he says, okay, Gerrit, I will help you through this process. You don't have to do it all by yourself. I'll show you where you make a mistake. I'll take you through the processes and the things that you need to do and to look at. He tells me that. Sometimes I'm a little bit hard hearing. Sometimes I'm a lot hard hearing. I'm only talking about myself here, so you guys are all here. I mean, if the Lord says something, you say, Lord, how high must I jump? And you jump immediately, ne? Is that how it goes? The horizontal beam stretches out towards others. Our commitment to God and to people. Remember what it says? Love your neighbor as yourself. And how wide is that? As wide as the east is from the west. Do we do that? Do we apply that in our lives? Or is it just a question of, you know, the guy there, as they say in Zula, Zigundaba, I don't care. Few people know what that word Zigundaba means. It can feel wobbly, but it is held up by the vertical beam. It can be shaken. It can, your life can be in a way that you think, I'm not going to make it. But friends, you are tied to the vertical beam. He will hold you up. All you have to do is allow him to hold you. Allow him to take the wobble out. And there's, by the way, there's not one here from that corner, right up to the back there, to Peter here. We all have wobblies. Or do you don't have wobblies? I do have a wobbly. Every now and then, I've got something. So, we need to allow God to help us, to trust him in what we are doing, how he wants us to do that, and so on. Where promises and commitment cross, the intersection of the beams symbolizes God's steadfastness and meeting my fragile dedication. God doesn't move. And he accepted that I'm fragile. He accepted that when I say, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior, that it's as fragile. It's fragile. Yet he allowed me to do that. He allowed me to get on the with him on the cross. Think about it. I'm allowed to be on the cross. The Bible, especially in Romans and so on, that we have been crucified with Christ. At the cross, God's finished work and supports my disciples' journey. At the cross, God finished his work and supports my discipleship journey. God is done with his side of the deal. I've got to keep my side of the deal now. But I need his help to do that. I cannot do it by myself. Because if I could do it by myself, why do I need God? I need him in every way, in everything. And what did he do? He sent his son Jesus to us. Because what did Jesus came? Not only did he come to save us from our sins and so on, but he's also now a mediator. He stands in the gap for me by the Father. He says, Dad, don't worry, Gerrit, just ask for forgiveness. Can we ask the Holy Spirit to help him a little bit more because he's a bit wobbly? It's actually brilliant if you think about it. God's promises remain true despite my imperfect commitment, renewing my faithfulness. In spite of my imperfections, God remains faithful in everything that I do. Hey, what a God we serve. Think about it. What a God we serve. 2 Corinthians 2:20. We've just read it. It confirms God's promises. And all we have to say is, yes, Lord. Amen to that. That's all we have to do. Some practical steps. Renew trust in God's promises, like forgiveness and support. Friends, This is a daily journey. This is an hour. This is a minute-by-minute journey. This is not something that it's a once-off deal. It's like, again, get married. It's not a once-off deal. It's a daily journey. It's a renewal. You know, some people renew their vows when they're 20 years married and 50 years and so on. I don't need to do it because my renewal is daily. If I suffer, Stefani suffers. If Stefani suffers, I suffer. And that's exactly how it is. We are suffering with Jesus. Recommit by taking a specific action, such as forgiving, helping, and obeying. Friends, all of us know what we have to do in our lives, in terms of our relationship with God. I don't need to tell you that. You know that, because it's in your heart. God is already working in your heart. God is already telling you what you're supposed to do. The problem is, I don't want to do it, because I want to do it like Frank Sinatra sings. I want to do it my way. It doesn't work my way. It's God's way, not the highway. The cross is a reminder of God's promises and dedication. If you have a cross around your neck and you look at yourself in the mirror and you see the cross, it reminds you of who Jesus is, what he did on the cross for you, and what is your relationship with him. Conclusion. God's promises and commitment came down to Calvary. God came from heaven. The popo hit the fan where? In Genesis 3. The problem started in Genesis 3. And what did God say? I'll make a plan. Jesus says, I am the plan. He came. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He came. He died on the cross for us. And there was nothing that we had to do for it. Our promises and commitment strength to stretch out from Calvary. All we have to now do is accept what happened on the cross and start living accordingly. Is that difficult? Is it difficult? Why is it difficult? It's difficult because I'm human. It's difficult because I'm hard of hearing. It's difficult because I don't want to do it. I don't like somebody telling me what to do and what not to do. But you know, it's nice. It's nice. If somebody comes to you and say, what about doing it this way? Or it's nice if somebody just says, I am praying for you. Or it's nice to hear your wife say to you, I love you. Or, and I can carry on for the next half an hour like this. But it's nicer if God says to you, I love you. There's nothing better than that. The cross, they tie together in the middle that reminds us of what Jesus has done for us. Remember, the vertical side, the horizontal side, and what is in the middle? Jesus Christ, my Savior, the one that said, I will die for me. Now, the one question remains. Where do I stand in this whole story? We've got there are a couple of possibilities around. People, and they could be in the building, church here, people that have got no relationship with God. Then there are people that maybe they want to have a relationship with God. And then there are people that have got a wobbly relationship. So let's have a look at the one. Your horizontal beam has been sagging. Is that possible? You know, friends, when we talk to God, We need to be honest. You can't bamboozle God because he already knows. He already knows you want to bamboozle him before you bamboozle him. Like it says in Romans 7, the very sins, the things that I want to do, those are the very things I don't want to do. And he knows it all. So rather, instead of trying to bamboozle him, go back to the vertical. Go back to him. Go back and ask him to help you. Hey, what happened here? Sorry. Remember the promises and commitment he made for you on the cross. Just remember that. Friends, if you've made a mistake, no problem. You can go back to him at any point in time. Any point. He will never chuck you out. He will never leave you. Like he says in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. So why am I stupid? Why am I saying, yeah, but God doesn't love me? Boo. God loves you. God loves me. And he wants to have a relationship with me. But I've got to allow him to have a relationship with me. I've got to allow him to talk into my life. You've never given your life to Jesus, and that may be possible. What is the cross for? Today, come to Jesus and receive his promise and begin a life of commitment. Friends, if you've never given your life to Jesus, it will be the most, and I underline it, the most important decision you will ever make in your life. Because it's not only a decision for today, it's a decision forever. If you haven't met Jesus, if Jesus is not part of your life, I would really ask you in Jesus' name. I would really beg you to consider making him part of your life. What does that entail? Just a couple of small things. A couple of small things. One is, you've obviously confessed that you cannot do it by yourself. Like the word of God says, and everybody that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you've got to call on the name of the Lord. You've got to call on Jesus to become part of your life. You've got to acknowledge, like we heard earlier on today when Anna read from John 1, I have to confess what I've done wrong. Because God is a God that there's no nonsense, no sin, no nothing it can be around him. But you've got to confess it before him. You've got to tell God, sorry God, I've made lots of mistakes, lots of boo-boos, lots of things that I've done wrong. And I ask you for forgiveness. And what does it mean? It means that all my sin have been nailed on the cross. And I've got to take it and make it part of my life. So it's a simple prayer. All you have to do is ask. The word of God is clear. If you ask, you will receive. So why are we so shy to ask? Let's pray. And when we pray, friends, I want you to think where you are in God's life, where God is in your life, what Jesus has done for you. I want you to think about for a moment the fact that he went to the cross for one reason, so that I can live. I want you to think how you live. Is your cross sagging, or your beam sagging, or are you wobbly? Think about it. Or in fact, if Jesus is not in your life, you can ask him right where you are. Ask him. And if you don't know, there's always somebody that can help you with it. I was fortunate. I grew up in a church. But when I, because I'm in a garage, doesn't make me a motor car. So I wasn't a Christian for my first 23, 24 years of my life. And then God came into my life. And he turned me upside down, inside out. Sometimes I wonder. But it's a miracle that I'm still standing here today. And I'm thankful for that. Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, and we want to say thank you for your grace and your goodness and your love and your mercy. Father, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for us on the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the vertical beam that is steadfast, that I'm tied to that beam horizontally, that I know that you are unshakable, that you are who you are, and that we don't have to worry about anything. Father, but help us where we are wobbly, where our beam is sagging, where we miss it. Father, and we do miss it. Help us. Forgive us. Guide us. Give us insight and wisdom to understand what you want us to do. Help us in every way and in every aspect. Father, you are my dad. And I say thank you for it. Thank you that I can come to you with open arms, with open hands, and ask you for forgiveness. Because wobbliness and sagging means that I've done something wrong in my life. And I ask for forgiveness for that. Father, your goodness enfolds everyone. Father, and if there's somebody here that hasn't made Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray now that you will work in their hearts. Father, that they will realize by just asking Jesus to forgive them, by just asking Jesus to become part of their lives, their whole life and their whole future will change. Father, we praise you and glorify you. We bring to you the honor and the worship because you are worthy of everything. Father, and now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father that enfolds us, not only around us, but under us and over us in every way, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that goes with us wherever we go, that it goes with us. We pray this all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.